So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with family, not members, Lord, but we are family, Lord. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the opportunity to fellowship. Now we thank you for your word. We ask that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord, it helps us to navigate, Lord. It gives us the roadmap, the blueprint on how to live in these dark, dying, decaying, fallen world ways, Lord. So thank you, Lord. We wouldn't have a clue as to how to speak, how to think, how to talk, how to walk without your word. Speak to us through your word. Teach us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Teach us your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 and 30. So good to see you all again this morning. And special guest, my buddy Brooke from the gym. We play ball. We're the old guys out there. And we tend to stick each other. So I let him shoot his jump shot, and he lets me shoot my jump shot. And it goes pretty well. So, man, I appreciate that. You already know. And he's a good shooter, too. He kills me sometimes, you know. But that's just how us old guys have to stick together. Then we have Pat and Gary Cornegay, and just good friends of ours. I remember Pat and I sat in seventh grade at Fauché. I don't know if it was history or social studies class or something like that, Pat. And plus, I grew up on 35th, Pat grew up on 38th. And then we all were in the same homeroom at Man Yards High School for 3 years hanging out. And Pat and Gary have been married, how many years this year? 29 years they'll be married this year. Our good, dear friends. And Pat and Tracy were like best friends growing up. So I knew Pat actually before I knew Tracy. So, yeah. Because I met you in the seventh grade. In the ninth grade, I tried to talk to Tracy and she slammed the door in my face. So at least she was my friend, Pat. You know what I'm saying? So, oh, I got the tape on too. I shouldn't have said that. And then so we it's just really good. Then Vashon back there, I remember when I was an assistant principal, and he told me in 1997, he said, Mr. Carter, I'm 30. You're 30 now? Gee, gosh, thanks a lot. I guess I had you from sixth grade, seventh grade, and hey, this is a special day. Somebody say amen. Thank God for his grace. Amen. And so it's just a really special day, and I thank God for it. And good friends and good people and relationships, please do the best you can to keep your relationships right, keep them holy, because you just never know how your paths will cross somewhere down the line. Amen? Did I say Ephesians 4 and 30? So we're finishing up our lesson, spirit-filled and living spirit-filled and spirit-sealed. So Ephesians 4 and 30, this is where we've been starting. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. So God, when we accept Christ, God fills us with his Holy Spirit. Paul is telling us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are marked, we are smeared, we are oiled up by the Holy Spirit so God can recognize us. Then we have the day of redemption, which means God is coming back for us. So when we accept Christ, God puts a mark on us and he says, I'm coming back for you. Or if you pass away and you stand before God, he sees you. That's my son. That's my daughter. Come on up, because you are marked. You are sealed. You are oiled up. You are smeared with the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying, you know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, which means don't stress it out by the way that you're living, by the things that you say, by the things that you do. Paul says, don't grieve that Holy Spirit. You're sealed by it. It's in you. You think it's your conscience, but it's the Holy Spirit saying, no, no. Like last night when you were thinking about something and something said, don't do it. Don't go. Don't pick up the phone. Don't ask. Don't go. That was the Holy Spirit saying, all right, don't grieve, don't stress me out. Something happened, that's between you and God, but just know that was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to you. So now we're in chapter 5 and verse 13 is where we pick up from last week. And Paul is telling us how to live, how to navigate from day to day. And the subtitle is Walk as Children of Light. This is our future. We should walk as if we are in the light of God. Verse 13, 5 and 13, if you're there, Ephesians 5 and 13, if you're there, say amen. Amen. He says, but all things that are reproved are manifest by the light. So all things that are exposed, that word in the Greek means, reproved means exposed, but all things that are exposed are made apparent by the light. So the light is what exposes the darkness. You have to be careful who you hang out with, because if you're both walking in darkness, there's no exposure there. Darkness can't expose darkness. It gets darker. So Paul is saying that when you're walking in the light, you expose the darkness. That's why some people, you don't get the call anymore. They don't want to come around you anymore, maybe because you're the weird one, because you expose the darkness. And most people are comfortable in the darkness. That's why we make excuses not to come to a church. Because if you walk in church and there's any darkness, you walk in, and if it's a good Bible-believing church, some things are going to be exposed. So I talk about, well, you know, the preacher's taking the money and he's sleeping with the women, so I don't go to church. Or I don't want to be a hypocrite because I'm not living right, so I don't go to church. No, it's because when you step in, the Holy Spirit of God will touch your heart and you see, wow, I got to get some things together. So the enemy tries to keep you from going to a good church. Yes, there's bad churches. There's good churches. So you got 50-50. Whatever you do, you got bad people on your job, but you don't stop going to work. You can't wait. The guy got to go make my money. You get up and you go. All of a sudden, when it comes to church, I can't do that anymore because it's not right. Anybody had a bad experience at a restaurant? You haven't stopped eating. Yeah. And you still go out to eat. You might not go there, but you still go out to eat. So all of a sudden you have one bad experience at church and I'm done with that. It's bad people that go to the gym. Oh, y'all don't go to the gym. All right, I got you. Yeah, hey, Pastor, you lost me on that one. I don't even go to the gym, so. It's bad people that, on that basketball court, we deal with all kind of attitudes. But I don't stop going. I got to play my game. I'm standing in shade. That doesn't stop me. So don't let that be your excuse not to come because of what somebody else is doing. Remember, this walk is so specific and individual. It's you and God. Can't care what anybody else is doing. I got to stay close to God. And if there's a good church, whether it's this one or not, but if it's a good one that's teaching how to stay into the presence of God, I need to be there. You and I need to be somewhere. Amen? Amen. All right, so here we go. So verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest, are made apparent by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So once it's exposed into the light, then you have to do something about it. He gets real deep in verse 14. Wherefore, he said, awake, thou that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. He's saying, before we were born again, we were the walking dead. And before Christ came and gave us light and life, we were the walking dead. Although we thought we were alive, we were really spiritually asleep. Turn quickly to Ephesians 2 and 1. Natalie, you know we're always all over the place. It gets real deep. God help us, it gets so deep. Because if you don't have a relationship with Christ, then you are spiritually dead. You are alive, but you're dead. You know, we don't really believe in zombies, but you are the walking dead. because you don't have life outside of Christ. And we talked about, Pastor, that's so narrow-minded. It's just the organization that we belong to. We talk about it all the time. Every membership, every organization has their specific rules. And you can't be a part of it unless you apply by the rules. My daughter's a part of a sorority. But I can't join. That is so narrow-minded. That is so, can you believe that? I can't join that. That is so narrow-minded. But that's the rules. And then my youngest daughter, she's a part of the Girl Scouts. I can't be a girl. And that is so narrow-minded. Isn't that so closed-minded that only girls can be a part of that? And for the ladies, my son, he's a part of a frat. Stop, John. And ladies, you can't join that. That is so narrow-minded, isn't it? So, but then when God tells us the only, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God but by him, then all of a sudden, no, that's so narrow-minded. But everybody does it. Everybody has their specific group and clique. We said it, and we'll say it again. It's just, it's not my fault that my founder, which is Jesus Christ, created your founder. I can't help that. And he created everything. I can't help that. Remember, religion isn't valid based on its followers. I don't care who's following it. Go to the root. Who founded it? Who founded it? Where did it come from? How was it established? What was it established on? And ours was established on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you read the word, it shows how he appeared 40 days after his resurrection and taught his disciples. So you have a guy like Peter who cussed the lady out and said, I don't know him. And then next thing you know, in Acts, he's saying, you need to get your life saved. There's only one name that's going to save you, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's Peter. When they killed him, they wanted to crucify him. He said, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. So how do you go from cussing people out saying, I don't know Jesus, to say, kill me, but kill me upside down because I don't even want to be identified with the type of death he had? Something happened. See, that's our founder. Our founder is what happened. He split time in half with all the good people in the world. Mandela, Dr. King, Cesar Chavez. You go down the list. When they died, they were buried. Jesus rose again and split time in half. Nobody else split time in half. We'd have to go from B.C. to A.D. I don't believe in God. What do you mean? I don't believe Jesus existed. Well, every time you look at a calendar, you're reminded that something happened. So it's not whether he existed or not. Is what do you believe? What do you commit yourself to? And he's saying, Paul is saying right here, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you're not walking in the light and light of Christ, then you're spiritually dead. It's a tough word, Pastor, I know. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He says, you and you hath he quickened, he's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Then he even gets more personal in verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's basically saying, you, whatever your flesh told you to do, whatever Satan told you to do, that's how you got down. That's how you and I got down. And think about it, family, just look back a little bit. Don't peek too much into your past, but look back and just say, wow. Think about some of the things we did, the lies we told, the places we went, the manipulation that we did. You got the nerve to say the word isn't relevant? It is very relevant. The people we stabbed in the back. The things we did. Think about the things, some of the things we do now. I mean, you can see how that influence is still there. Unless you keep life in perspective and stay focused. All right, so here, verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation. Think about some of the things you used to say. Some of the songs you still sing. I'm sorry, some of the songs you used to sing. Think about some of the conversations. It is ridiculous. Among Verse 3 again, among whom also we all had. No, it's all of us, underline all. So it's not like it's big eyes and little you. It was all of us. We had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Whatever my flesh told me to do, whatever my mind told me to do, get high, go here, drink this, drink that, do this, do that. You and I did it. And says, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I got to read verse 4 before I go back. It says, but God. Come on now. Trust me, if God was out to get us, that's too easy. He would have got us a long time ago. He said he was rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ. And it says, by grace are you saved. We can't even take credit for being saved. It's the grace of God that saved us. Somebody say amen, because I don't know about your background, but mine was rough. Man, every time I can't help but smile. That's why I was excited to come this morning. Like, because I remember some more, was it? I lost a couple of days sometimes. Go to bed on Saturday, wake up on Monday. Like, what happened Sunday? What's that? Oh, man. Woo. Yeah. And how you wake up and say, you know, I'm coming to the house of God. To see some people who care, who love, who are praying for me every day as I'm praying for them, who's walking with me on this thing. And we understand part of this club, exclusivity. It is exclusive, but it's open to everyone. And the benefits out of this world, literally and figuratively. And we get to walk this thing together, because tomorrow I got to go back out there and deal with a lot of stuff. You and I have to go back out there. But it's so good to come and be encouraged and inspired by the word of God and God's people. Not just being a church member, but part of a family. All right, let's see if we can finish this up. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 and 15. He says, see then that you walk circumspect, which means see that you walk carefully, not as fools, but wise. That's messed up, isn't it? He said, don't walk around like a fool. He first said that if you're outside of the light, then you're dead. And that's why he said, that's why you walk. Don't be a fool out there. But be wise, be discerning, ask God for insight. Don't walk around as a fool. And it even says that a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That's what the Bible teaches. That's the definition of a fool, who says that there is no God. And then Paul says, be wise and be careful, because you can say with your lips that there is a God, but with your lifestyle, you saying that there is not a God. That's why I say, don't be careful. Don't be a fool. You can't say one thing and then live another way and think that you're walking with God and think that you know God. He said, be careful. Don't be a fool. Be wise. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And that word redeeming, I looked at what did redeeming say? I looked it up. See if I can find. Redeem. It says to buy up, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. He said, cash your time in now. The time that you and I have left, make sure that you're doing good with that time, because the days are evil. Don't be a fool. Don't waste your time. Be careful. Cash in your time by doing good stuff. You only got a limited time. You and I will have a limited time left. We think that when a baby's born and they slap it, it's growing up. But actually, the countdown is subtracted to when it leaves. You're not growing up, you're actually declining. From the day you take your first breath until then, your time is ticking down. He said, make good use of that time, because the days are evil. Don't be the one doing evil in evil times. Cash in your time for good works for God. And he says, verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understand, get insight, get discernment in what the will of the Lord is. So what's the will of the Lord? That we go out and make disciples. Just like Jesus, he came to seek and to save those that were lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So the will of God for our life is that we go out and we share the gospel. So you should never, as a Christian, say, what is my purpose? Your purpose is to share the gospel. Now, your method might be different. Our methods are different, but our purpose is the same. You should never say, man, I have no purpose. Yes, you do have a purpose in life. You got to share this good news of what Jesus Christ did. You have to share it with others so they could be saved, so they could be rescued from this crazy, mixed up world. So as we go through our day to day, we're not really chasing stuff. We're chasing God in the midst of everything else that we do. God is the top priority and everything else comes after that. God wants us to be successful and ambitious and to have dreams, but he doesn't want that to take his place because he's the one that gave us the opportunity and the mind to do it all. Thank God for creative minds. You know, then you pay your tithes and we build the kingdom and we go out and we share it with others. Nobody's successful. We're all here having a meeting. Somebody needs a piece of bread. We say, well, we'll pray for you. That doesn't help. It doesn't help. Yeah, we need a meal. We'll pray that God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a meal. No, we want to say, no, we'll take you to get some food. Amen? Amen. So it's a place for everything, but he says you got to cash in the time by doing good. And he's going with, don't be asleep in verse 15 and don't be a fool in verse 16 and understand what the will of God is, by the way, in verse 18, and stop getting drunk. He said, you can't work for God when you're drunk. I'm sorry, that's not what it says. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Underline, filled with the Spirit. And that word excess is saying, is translated into unsavedness. It was a whole nother word when I went to the Greek. Excesses. It said, don't be drunk like your unsavedness. You so drunk, you forgot you saved. It said, God don't even recognize you and you don't recognize God. It said, don't be like that. I'm just telling you what the word says. That's what it says. In the context, said unsavedness, you just forgot you were saved. You so out of it. And family, you know, and just coming from that background, growing up in inner city where the gangs, the drugs and the alcohol was prevalent. I mean, you don't want to be addicted to anything but the presence of God. And coming from that, man, you feel bad for people because we've been there. If you ever been there, you know what it's like when you think about getting high on something before you thinking about anything else. And that's why, you know, God tells us that in verse 8, 5 and 8, he says, for we were sometimes darkness. It's not, don't try and act like you forgot that you weren't there. That's why we have compassion and empathy and sympathy, because we've been there. Some of us have been there. It's a tough road, but he's saying, you know, it's time now that you don't want to be out there like that. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God because you're sealed with the Spirit of God. For us, it's a new day. It's a new year because God has made it new here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. And he's saying we just can't be business as usual. So let me finish with this. So I have another prayer for you all. We had a prayer that we were praying in December. I'm sorry, in January. But I want to give you one for February during your prayer time. and then we're going to close out. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 3 and 14. So, family, as we continue to pray in the mornings, you have your prayer on the back of the bulletin. I've learned the value years ago of praying scripture. Praying scripture, praying God's will through scripture. So Paul gives us another prayer. And I want you all to incorporate this in your 5-10 minutes of morning time before you get up. And this is how we renew our minds. This is how renew means how we revolutionize or renovate our mind so that, you know, the thoughts that would take us places we didn't need to go, we start filling it with God's word, filling our heart and mind with it. And then we see that, you know, some of those desires that we had, we don't have them anymore because it's being replaced with the will of God. Did I say 3 and 14 of Ephesians? Okay, here's Paul saying, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord, Jesus Christ." Of our Lord, Jesus Christ. So you understand that Paul's praying now. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He's praying that he would grant you, so that he would grant me according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his what?
Spirit.
In the inner man. So I'm praying, God, that by your riches and glory, you strengthen my inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend, folks, we can't even comprehend. May be able to comprehend with all saints. Those of us have been sanctified, set apart. That's not the football team, all right? Don't get distracted. They're not in Super Bowl this year. That's not the Saints. It's the Patriots and the Seahawks, all right? Verse 18. May be able to comprehend. You can't even understand what all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. We can't even. He's saying that God would give you a glimpse of how deep, wide his love is that covers us. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't understand it. Don't try and figure God out. It's why I said that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that you would trust and believe, because you just can't understand it. But Paul is asking that he would just give you a little bit of insight so you can see the breadth and the height and the depth and the compassion of his love, because it passes all knowledge. You know, it's just kind of idiotic. You meet people who say, well, I need to know what God is doing. I need to know. You can't even. It passes knowledge. Stop. If God showed you what would happen in the month of February, you would be afraid to leave the house. You can't understand. It passes your knowledge. Stop. You don't want to know. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Somebody say, that's my prayer. Pray this, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it gets better. I love this last one. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Somebody say amen. According to the power that works in us, the power of his Holy Spirit that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen. God's kingdom never ends. Even in death, we just transition to be with God. So, family, for the month of February, verses Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Incorporate that in your 5 minutes of prayer. Let that minister to your heart. And just watch God continue to renovate our minds and our hearts and our lives. Even in the midst of our struggles and our ups and downs, God is there. Lord, dwell in our heart by faith. Let's pray. Dwell in our heart by faith, Lord. Let us trust you. God, just give us a glimpse of the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of your love. We know that it passes all knowledge, God, but just give us a little peek at it. So we can understand how much you love us, how much you care for us, that you would send your son to die on the cross for us. And then, Lord, we know that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. We're not even thinking big enough, Lord. Renovate our minds so we can just stop majoring in the minors. Get along with your plan, Lord. And you'll show us exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to your will. We don't want to limit you, God. We limit you by our unbelief, and we limit you by our raggedy lifestyle. And then have the nerve to blame you when things don't go right. Thank you, Lord. You do call us out upon the water. That great unknown where feet may fail. Oh, we love you, Lord. God, show us how much you have for us. Don't let us cheat ourselves for another day from what the best that God has for us. Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Our mind can't even fathom what God has for us. God, we repent for limiting you through our disobedience. God, forgive us for not trusting you to do more than we thought we could do without you. In our marriages, in our singleness, with our kids, the grandkids, we've limited you in everything, God. Forgive us. In our business, in our ministry, we've limited you, God. Forgive us. Some stuff we haven't even thought about that you can do. So, Lord, I'm praying for anyone who might be here and say, Pastor, my first step is accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never accepted Christ. I'm not even sure if I'm saved, if I've been rescued. It's all saved means being rescued. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued. All you have to do is call upon his name. Trust, believe, commit your life to Christ. Let him rescue you today. If that's you and you've never accepted Christ, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I don't know what happened in January, but I made promises to God. I didn't keep one. And here we are in February. Pastor, I got to get it right now. I can't let 2015 be an extension of 2014. Not with my relationship with God. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home and say, Pastor, from the worship to the word, I felt the presence of God, the love of the people of God, and I do need somewhere to be. If that's you and you need a church home, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. We'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. You're not a member, you're a family. Oh, Lord, how we thank you on today. God, thank you for challenging us to be better because you created us to be better. Not just to exist, but to live and to have life more abundantly. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the charge, Lord. Give us the courage and the strength to pray each morning before we start our day so we can hear from you before we hear from everybody else. We know that your knowledge passes understanding. Thank you for sharing that with us through your word. We love you on today, Lord, as we celebrate the Super Bowl and the awesome God, Lord. We thank you that you won. Our victory came 2015 years ago. King of kings, Lord of lords. Never defeated. Undefeated. The Alpha and the Omega. The way, the truth, and the life. King Jesus. Let us celebrate with family. Let us be examples and models of goodness. Give us the opportunity to share Christ with one person on this week. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Now, as we depart this place, but not your presence, give us traveling graces. Be with us. Pray for the meeting upstairs, Lord. All the members, we're getting ready to go upstairs. Pray for that meeting. We'll be timely. Bless that food, Lord, that we're going to receive up there. May it nourish our bodies. Oh, we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and we are dismissed. You call me out upon